You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. All week we've been bringing you interviews from our Stateside show we did at the Arab American National Museum in Dearborn. One of the guests at last week's event was comedian Abdullah Jazim. His slogan, chemical engineer by day, funny guy by night. Before I sat down with Abdullah, he performed a little stand-up for our audience.
So my name's Abdullah Jazim, right? And for some reason, white people hear it as Abdullah Jasmine. It's like, no, man, no. Is it the beard? Do I have too many L's in my name? I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of common misconceptions for Arabs. Like, a lot of people think we're rich, we're loaded, right? All of us have like 6 barrels of oil in our basement. We drive Ferraris while we pet our cheetahs. Like, no, no. It's not the case. That's maybe the one percenters, but the rest of us, we're cheap as hell. Seriously, like, my parents are so cheap, they sent me to Iraq to get braces during the Iraq war. Like, they sent a 13-year-old kid to a war zone to get some $6 braces. Like, seriously, Mom? So my uncle was actually responsible for my whole braces situation, right? And he was actually a general in Saddam's army. So you don't mess with him. He was scary as hell, okay? So he's like, listen, I'm going to take you to my buddy. He's a good dentist. I'm like, all right, let's go. So we drive to this dentist office. Turns out it's a bunker, okay? I go down the stairs, and as soon as I walk in, I'm like, oh, hell no. He literally grabbed a passenger chair from the 1990 Toyota Camry, pulled it out, and used it as his dentist chair. I'm dead serious. Soon as this dentist walks in, he's like, hella, hella, we love the American people. And for white people, you guys don't know this, Arabs can't pronounce the letter P. We say B, right? So like Pepsi is Bepsi. Porch is Borch. Peach is Bitch. You know what I'm saying? We don't know how to say P, so I just want to make sure you guys know that. So he comes in, he's like, we love the American people. Go ahead, sit down, brother, sit down, sit down. He sits me down and then fastens my seatbelt. Literally. And then you guys remember those rotating knobs back in the day? Yeah. He rotated me into position. Just So after 5 minutes of that, he grabs his hand and shoves it into my mouth with no gloves and no nothing. I could literally taste the salty chicken shawarma he had last night. And he literally spent 5 minutes in my... I felt so violated. So then he walks out with my uncle. They have a conversation, and then he comes back. But my uncle comes back first, and he's like, Abdullah, don't be cry, baby. Don't cry. You have to be a man. Be a man. And I'm like, okay, man. What does being a man have to do with braces? I was so confused. So then the dentist walks back in super creepily, just like... climbs over the dental chair. I thought he was going to give me a lap dance. I swear to God. I was like, yo, what's about to happen? Is this the first ISIS, like, porno? Like, what? I'm confused. I am confused. And then out of nowhere, he looks into my eyes, and he's like, we love the American people. And just starts stabbing me with a screwdriver. I swear to God, I'm not lying to you guys. He started stabbing my mouth with a screwdriver, grabs some pliers, and just fighting me, pulls out 3 permanent teeth. Oh. No drugs. This is a true story, guys. This was in Iraq. It was torture. So then after he does all that, I am dying, right? But the worst part about it is I can't even cry because my uncle is on top of me like, I wish you would. I wish you would cry. And see, I don't know if you've ever been too scared to cry. This is what it sounds like. It's the worst. It sucks. So he finishes. Then the dentist grabs a roll of toilet paper. Swear to God. Rolls it up on his hands, shoves it into my mouth, and he's like, congratulations. And I'm like, what? Okay. And I'm just sitting there like, So we're walking out of this bunker, and as I'm leaving, I see this guy with no legs, okay? He just had toilet paper on his knees. And I was like, Ammu, which is uncle in Arabic, is he a dentist or a doctor? And then my uncle's like, no, no, he's dentist, doctor, psychologist, he's everything, everything. So you know what that means, guys. I know what human legs taste like. Salty chicken shawarma. That's all, guys. Thank you so much.
Oh. Thank you. Have a seat. Have a seat. Abdullah, fun. An Iraqi-American chemical engineer, yes. Right? You've got some unique perspectives to mine for comedy. So were you the class clown when you were a kid?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Where'd you grow up?
So I grew up actually in the Detroit area, but real close to Dearborn, you know. Yeah. We couldn't afford the Dearborn house, so my parents had to live in Detroit. It was actually a really interesting environment to be in because, you know, Detroit and Dearborn are pretty much either Arab or Black. And when I went to college, I went to Cincinnati, which is all white. So I was like, oh my God.
What happened then?
Yeah.
What was
it
that
was
like?
New. It was new to me, but I had to adapt, right? And it was very interesting because now I had like this perspective of like, hey, this is all new to me and I need to just kind of shine and show them what being an Arab American really is. Because they never seen an Arab American before, like literally. Like when I talk, they're like, oh my God, what is that? Like what? So it was definitely an interesting life, I'll just tell you.
All right, and when did the comedy thing begin, the idea?
So it started, I was getting engaged to this girl, mm-hmm. and she kept on sending me these Arab funny videos of other guys making her laugh. And I was like, I swear to God I'm funny, I can make you laugh. So I made a video about how Arabs catch mice.
Okay.
And it went viral for some reason. And then I was like, all right, I guess I'm a funny guy. So then I started doing videos and people really, you know, I started to garner a following and people were like, hey, why don't you come do some stand-up? And I was like, I've never done that before. And then just gave them some stories and people started laughing. I'm like, oh my God, I'm actually funny. This is cool.
Yet you are a working engineer.
Yes.
Welcome. I actually saw a video that you had. You were talking about the fact you started at a potato chip factory.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of people would not put chemical engineer and comedian in the same sentence, but
not
you're managing to make that happen.
Yes.
I guess, what was that first time like when you got up on stage?
It's actually really interesting because I've done over 100 shows now.
And not just in Michigan.
No, yeah, all over America, yeah. Canada. And every single time I have this feeling inside where it's just like, oh my God, I'm gonna go up. Oh my God, oh my God. But as soon as I hear that first laugh, I turn on. It's like a machine. It's like, all right, let's go. Where are you guys at? Like, come on, more of this.
Well, let's talk about your identity as an Iraqi American Muslim. What role does that identity play in your comedy?
So most of my comedy is actually about my family, right? So Arab moms are actually hilarious. If you ever meet one, they are the funniest ladies ever.
And I've watched your videos. Are you doing your mom?
Yes.
Hello, assalamu alaikum. This is my mother's voice.
I do a lot of accents too.
Yeah. So, and the family doesn't mind the fact that they're kind of being relived up on stage in front of
audience. So my mom, I roast my mom so much. And what's funny is that she'll actually, like, she enjoys it. She's like, my friends come and tell me they're always joking about me. I love it. It's like, all right, yeah.
What subjects do you feel that you can dive into and explore through comedy that you might not be able to do elsewhere?
Every subject. And that's what's so beautiful about comedy is that I can literally tackle the most. Because, see, you guys don't know this, but Muslims are very, very strict. Like, if you mention anything about sex, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Any kind of topic that's taboo to them, it's instantly, don't mention it, don't talk about it. So with comedy, you can find a way where it's like, hey, laugh, but I'm going to sprinkle some of this real stuff on you. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah.
So it's actually a very interesting way to send a very direct message and have people accept it. So if you make someone laugh, like every time I go to the airport, if the TSA is looking at me weird for my beard, instantly, I just crack a joke right away, and then we're cool. Like, oh yeah, man, go ahead, right away. There's no problem. So comedy helps with everything.
Yeah, I'm thinking of in the world of comedy, are there other Muslim comedians that you could say, you know what, he or she did it, I'm going to do it?
Yeah, actually, it's actually a very good point because right now in Hollywood, there's actually three Muslim comedians that have made it. Mm. Hasan Minhaj, I'm sure you've heard of him. Muhammad Amer, which is, he had his Netflix special. It's actually really funny. And there's a new Hulu show called Rami. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
Yes, I have.
But it's actually a very interesting show about an Arab-American Muslim and his struggles with identity being, because it's really hard, guys, to be a Muslim in America because a lot of the things you guys do, we can't do. And it's like, please, can we do it? Like, please. But we can't. So we got to learn to live with being a little different and accepting it.
I love it. What is it like when you are looking out over an audience and doing comedy for an audience that doesn't look like you?
So I actually had a show 2 weeks ago in Arkansas.
Okay, then.
Yes, the whitest of white people. Literally. I was like, what? They're so white. And I loved it. I loved it. And what I appreciate about the white folks, I'm going to be honest with you guys, you guys know how to take a joke.
Okay.
I swear, you do. Like, I can roast every single one of you guys. Like, come on, give me some more. Like, I love it. You know, Arabs, no. You make fun of them the wrong way, he'll come up and try to fight you on stage, you know? So, yeah.
And it works.
And it works. Yes, I love it.
So, you have you seen comedy and humor help different groups get each other? I'm using air quotes for the word get, to kind of maybe see what we have in common. I mean, we all laughed when you talked about mothers.
Yeah.
Okay, you know?
Exactly. And that's the beauty of comedy, right? It's when everybody relates to what you're talking about. And I was very afraid to go up in front of a white audience, because in any Arab audience, any Muslim audience, I'll kill it, no doubt. Yeah. I know my people. But when it comes to a different crowd, I'm like, oh God, what do I talk about? But what I realized is, you guys want to hear our story just as much as anybody else does. But I have to find a way to explain it to you so you understand it. And when you understand it, you can be like, oh my God. So it's a puzzle. And once you fit it together, I think it's a beautiful masterpiece.
Well, you know, and it's face-to-face, and we were talking earlier about, Congresswoman Dingell was talking about what social media has done to divide us in a way where people could just sit home and, you know, be on their iPhones and be on their laptops and keyboarding and not looking face-to-face. But when you are looking and people are looking and you're making that eye-to-eye connection, it is, like you say, great things can
100%,
happen. 100%. So where do you want to go with your comedy? Do you want to be able to quit the day job?
Oh, I'm waiting. I'm so waiting. Like, you know, I know I'm a good engineer. I'm not going to lie. I'm a good engineer. I don't enjoy it. I'm just a good engineer, right? But sorry if my boss is listening. Hey, I love you, man. No, I don't. I'm just joking. But I see other engineers, when they solve a problem and save the company money, I see joy in their heart. Like, oh my God, like, this is what I'm meant for. I do the same thing. I'm like, come on, man, let me go home.
And write some bits.
Yes. And then when I'm on stage and I see people laughing, it really brings that joy in my heart. And not only on stage, when I'm doing videos and I see, you know, hundreds of thousands of people commenting and liking and sharing, and oh my God, you make my day. And see, that what people don't realize is comedy actually is some sort of psychological therapy. Like, people can have the worst day and then you make them laugh once and be like, thank you. Like, a genuine thank you, man. Like, you just made my day so much better. And that's really what it's about.
Do you think you might have to maybe leave Michigan and head to the West Coast, or do you want to make this happen in Michigan?
So, Arab families, let me just... I have to live with my family. If I live in Michigan, I can't live away. I have to live in my mom's house. So, I want to leave Michigan. But the thing is, I got to make sure that there is an opportunity, because my mom is not going to... If I quit my job, I will get stabbed. I'm serious. Parents in the Arab, like, because they came with nothing, right? My dad actually got his PhD from the University of Arizona. But when he came and he was studying, he had 6 kids with nothing, you know? So we would split McChickens, you know what I'm saying? But hey, they had to go through that and they had to live a safe life. I have a better life because of them. And I feel like a lot of Arabs play the safe route. They don't want to take a risk. And I'm trying to change that. So
push the envelope. Well, good luck. Keep pushing. I know you're on Instagram.
Yes.
Right? Facebook?
Facebook. Abidjay on Instagram. Abidjay. I bet you all of... Does anybody in here even have an Instagram? You guys look like Facebook. Okay.
Yeah. I know you're all saying,
you look like a Facebook crowd. That's
all
I'm saying.
Because we're all a little older. I get it. No, do both.
You got the joke.
I got it. I do totally. Abdullah Jasmine, thank you so much for being with us. Good luck, and keep us posted on your
thank
career.
Thank